Okay, so let's read some of the translations from this. Who knows the Shad Goswami Ashtakam? Who's familiar with it? Sings it a lot. Besides Gauranga Kishore. All right, let's ask Gauranga Kishore. Which translation would you like to hear today? What kind of mood are you in? Which of these translations you want to hear? Okay, let's hear that one. That's number three. This is the number three on page 22. Gauranga Kishore has called for this translation. So the translation is, beginning on page 23 at the top, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very much enriched in understanding Lord Chaitanya, and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from their reactions to their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of impersonal liberation. This is a very appropriate translation, especially for today, for this evening. Does anybody know why? Hare Krishna, nice to see you. Why do you suppose this is an appropriate translation for this evening? What is this evening? What's special about today's Sunday program? We're having devotees go out on Sankirtan. It's Sankirtan Sunday. It means that we're providing opportunity for everyone who wants to go out on Sankirtan tonight for an hour. We did this last month. We did it in June, actually, for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. You went out last time? How was it? It was great. Great is good. So this translation is talking about how the Goswamis were particularly expert in narrating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and they can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. That purify everybody, all the conditioned souls from their reactions to their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. I'd like to hear how that works. Who wants to say how it works? There's some microphones. We'll get them flowing around there. There's one more up there. How does it work that a conditioned soul becomes free from bondage when someone pours songs about Govinda upon them? Can anyone care to give an explanation? Rakshit.
Well, I'll attempt to say what I understand about the sound vibration that comes out of these transcendental songs. Is that it is said that these sound vibrations have penetrating ability. They can penetrate the heart of an individual. And whatever contaminations that are there, like we know that the living entities who are in this material world, their heart as such is covered by the dust of material contamination. So this sound vibration, when it penetrates that heart, it can purify it, remove that dust, and bring that individual closer to the source from whom the vibration is coming. It gives a person an opportunity to really then make a communion or contact with the Lord.
Very nice summary. Thank you very much, Rakshit Prabhu. So now let's have some proof, too, to back it up. Gauranga Kishore's zeroing in on some shlokas for us. You can pass him the microphone. We're talking about how transcendental sound vibration is purifying to the heart. Yes.
Notice the Bhagavatam verse, it seems to describe it. How is it that devotional service frees one from the bondage of karma? So this is a verse from the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirbhyasira yukta karma garti nibandhanam chindanti ko vidastasya ko na kuryat kataharitam. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to this message?
Yeah, sure.
The contact of the spiritual spark with the material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruitive work. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes, the personality of Godhead. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, His Lila, are transcendental to the modes of material energy. They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually re-spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. Liberation from material bondage is therefore a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. Such knowledge must be overcoated with devotional service, so that ultimately the devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. Even the reactionary work of the fruitive workers can lead one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma overcoated with devotional service is called karma yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge overcoated with devotional service is called jnana yoga. But pure bhakti is independent of such karma and jnana because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditional life, but also award one the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about Him, by glorifying Him, by remembering Him, and by worshipping Him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of the different castes and orders of life, pursuant to the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and similar other authoritative scriptures.
Thank you very much. There's some nice proof. Yad anunyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuriyat katartim. That the topics of the Lord, they're transcendental, and therefore they act just like a sword to cut the knot within the heart. What is that hard knot within the heart? How is that described? What binds us to this material world? What's keeping us here? Maya. That's a good answer. A one-word answer. It's packed full of meaning. Maya is keeping us here. So what is Maya? What is the meaning of Maya? Illusion? Yeah?
That which is not.
That which is not. That's a profound statement. That which is not. How can something be not something? What is it if it's not?
It's not real.
It's not real? Where does Krishna say that in the Bhagavad Gita, where he distinguishes between what's real and what's not real? Bhakta Patrick, can we get him a microphone?
Yes. I was just looking at the definition of Maya.
Yes.
So it says, Maya is illusion, the energy of the Supreme Lord that deludes living entities into forgetfulness of their spiritual nature and of God.
Hmm. So it's an energy of the Lord. And we're being deluded somehow. So Maya means that which is not. It's the deluding energy of the Lord. And does it cause us any problem, Maya, or can we just live with it?
Maya is transient happiness or sorrows, whereas the real truth is Lord, which is permanent or destroyed, Satchitananda Swarupa.
So Prabhuji is saying that Maya is transient, whereas the Lord is permanent. And the happiness we get in in the state of illusion or maya is also transient. Well, in the end result, happiness that ends, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is no happiness at all. Real happiness continues forever, but happiness that ends is not happiness, really. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonai evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonai evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. This means that the kind of happiness you get through maya, which really means trying to interact with the temporary material energy and our senses, it has a beginning and it has an end, and therefore he says, who doesn't take pleasure in such happiness? Somebody who's intelligent. So if somebody becomes wise, they understand that I really don't get any value out of interacting with the illusory energy. It's temporary. About pouring transcendental songs, let's look at another verse from the verse book. This is Satam prasangam amavirya sambhiro bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashu apavargavart vani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishvati. It starts Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhiro. It's in this book. Page 213 in this book. Satam prasangam. Can somebody give Patrick one of those books? It's on the fourth shelf up. There you go. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido. Who spoke this verse? Lord Kapila Dev was instructing Devahuti, who's his mother, and he told her, Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido, that in the assembly of pure devotees, those who have no other business except Krishna, that means they're intent on going back home, back to Godhead. That's a pure devotee. Satam prasangam amavirya sambhido. Then you'll hear things within the assemblage of pure devotees. In fact, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Avadhuta Brahman was asked by Maharaj Yadu who his gurus were, and he said he had 24 gurus, and one of them was water. One of his instructing gurus was water. So when he described how water had instructed him, he said, water is just like a pure devotee. Because when you look into it, it's transparent. You can see the other side. So pure devotees reveal Krishna to others. They don't reveal themselves, but they reveal Krishna. Prabhupada said, a guru is a postal peon. Like a postal peon, he delivers the message. It's coming from Krishna. He delivers it to others. In another way, water is purifying, and purified by the touch of water. So those who are pure devotees, they also purify. Their touch is purifying. Their contact is purifying. And water is very pleasing to hear. When water is running, like by your babbling brook, it's very calming, very pleasing. So the vibrations that come from pure devotees are also very pleasing. So Lord Kapila Dev is saying in this verse that we're looking at, Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido. It's very good association. And in that association, you'll hear sound vibrations that will purify the heart. So he describes the actual process of how they purify the heart. Taj joshanad ashu apavargavart mani. They actually enter within the heart. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. That means they enter within the ears, and then where do they go? Into the heart. So from the ears into the heart, and there they cure the disease of material existence, which is called bhavarog, which means this continual process of dying, being reborn, and being attached to maya. So that becomes cured by hearing in the association of pure devotees. It's like a medicine. It's being described here, ashauti, that when you take medicine, normally you could take it through the mouth. Sometimes you inject it. And this medicine you take through the ears. And then it enters the heart, purifies the heart. And how quickly does it act, according to this verse? Look at the words Taj Joshanad, Ashwapavargavartmani. Does it take a long time? What does it say? Which word means quickly? Asu? Asu means quickly. So Taj Joshanat Ashu Apavargavart Mini means quickly the material existence becomes unraveled. And you start on the path of not on Pavarga but Apavarga. Do you know what the path of Pavarga is? The path of the material world. And it consists of working very hard until there's foam coming from the mouth. And being defeated at every step, being fearful at every step, and at the end, dying. This is called Pavarga. It's made pa, 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 ma. But when one hears the vibration from pure devotees, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it becomes apavarga, which means the opposite. You become free from that process of pavarga. And then there's a step-by-step process, which starts with shraddha, which means faith. And we've discussed the meaning of faith, and this verse is also in your book. Shraddha shabde vishvash kohi surida nishchoy krishna bhakti koila sarva karma kritta hoy. There's an awakening of a feeling in the heart that by doing bhakti, by serving Krishna, everything else will be done perfectly. This is shraddha. It means the most important thing, the watering the root of the tree means serving Krishna. And all other kinds of karmas and responsibilities will be automatically taken care of if I do that. This is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also by Karabhajana Muni, who says, Devarshi bhutapnam rinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam ranicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam kato mukundam pariyahritakartam. That we have obligations to all kinds of other living entities, automatically with our birth. It's like, I was telling somebody yesterday in Santa Cruz when they wanted to understand what we meant by karma and predestiny. And I said, it's just like if you were here in California and you racked up a huge bill on your credit card, and then you moved to Iowa, start a new life, and then you went and applied for credit somewhere else, you would find out very quickly that your history in California was well known because it's on the computer system everywhere. And you don't just go to another place and then start over fresh. You have a history. So similarly, we have a history from one body to the next. It's following us. There's an old saying from Bengal that if you come to Bengal, you'll bring your fortune with you. So apparently a lot of people used to go there 500 years ago to try to find some great learning, wealth, fortune. And wherever we go, we bring our karma with us. So from birth to birth, where we're born, next life, we start off with a credit card bill from the last life that we have to pay. So some people have to pay more than others because they owe more than others, right? So the verse says, Devarshi bhutapnan rinam pitrinam nakinkara nayam ranicharajan. Rini means we're debtors, and it lists all kinds of people, like demigods, like other learned people who teach us, like our parents, like the animals, like the cows who serve us all our life, and dogs, and there's, who else? Who am I missing? Long list. Devarshi, Bhutapna, Deva, the rishis, Bhuta, Apta, Rinam, Pitrinam, the Pitris, our forefathers. We wouldn't be here without our forefathers. So just all these things, we actually come into the world with a huge debt, right? However, Karabhajana Muni says, Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. If you take shelter of Krishna, means you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. What do? When you have so much debt and you can't pay it? You have to go find yourself an attorney. And he'll tell you, we're going to go negotiate this, right? So you have to get an attorney, and you have to negotiate this debt. So Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tong sarva papi mumuksha ishami masuja. If you surrender unto me, just completely give up, surrender to the court, I'll free you from all this debt. So sarvatmana ya sharanam sharanyam. If we completely surrender to Krishna, kato mukundam pariyahrita kartam, then we're absolved of this debt. So, Shraddha means understanding this, that my prime goal in life is to surrender to Krishna. Shraddha Ratir, and as we continue on this path of devotional service, we'll develop Rati, or an attraction for it. In the beginning, it may be mechanical, but as we continue, naturally, because it's our nature to be attracted to Krishna. Nothing can keep us away from Krishna, actually. And the more we have direct contact to Krishna through hearing and chanting, the more our natural propensity to run after him will be there. Mayasakta manaparta yogam yunjan marashaya. Krishna says in the first verse of the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that if you hear about me, then naturally your mind will become attached to me. Maya sakta mana aparta yogam yunchan manashraya asamshrayam samagramam yata gyasasi tachtrinu. He says, and all your doubts will be finished. If you hear from me, it's all you have to do, hear from Krishna. So just by hearing from Krishna, then the mind becomes attached to Krishna. It develops rati. And then bhakti awakens, real bhakti. And this is the goal of life. This is the great wealth of life, to awaken our pure bhakti. And all this happens by the association of devotees. And what happens when we're in association of devotees? What will we experience? They will pour on it. What are you going to?
Purification.
How? Because they pour songs about Govinda upon us. As we're hearing this verse about the Goswamis, they poured songs about Govinda everywhere they went. So if you're around pure devotees, you can tell you're around a pure devotee. How? What are two ways you can know? There's two sure ways you can know that you're around a pure devotee. Yes. Give him the microphone. Let's get in the habit. Pass the mic.
They always remind you of Krishna?
Yes, that'll definitely be there. And Madhvacharya says how they remind you of Krishna. What they speak. They're always speaking something merciful, beneficial about Krishna, related to Krishna, topics about Krishna. It's always tied to Krishna somehow. And the second way you can tell is steadiness. So if someone doesn't have internal purity, they can't remain steady externally. It's impossible. Sooner or later. Like there's a story about a jackal and he fell in a vat of blue ink. You know, jackals are very curious, and he went into the house of the carpenter and he saw this big barrel and he was looking in it and he slipped and he fell in and he turned blue. So he thought, what should I do? I'm blue now. So he went back to his home where all the other jackals lived, and they said, who are you? What are you doing here? He said, well, I'm God. I said, you're God? And they weren't convinced at first, but they thought, well, he might be. He's blue, and we've never seen a blue jackal before. So he came, and they began to worship him, and they put him on a throne, and they were worshiping. And then one night, he heard other jackals howling, and he couldn't keep his stature anymore sitting on the throne. He began howling, and they all discovered that he was also a jackal, although he had turned blue. So externally, we can change our dress or outward appearance, doesn't matter. But internally is what matters. That's what will direct us. The heart is the chariot. It drives us here and there. And what's in our heart, that will direct us, how we speak, where we move in the world. So the process of purification means association with pure devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. We'll hear in that association. That hearing will have a profound effect on our mind, on our heart, And then our life will change. Our life changes from the inside out. We can't change from the outside in. So pouring songs about Govinda, the Goswamis were expert at this. They would sing. And if you hear those songs, then you become purified. So they were also active in this. They were actively going and making sure that others could hear the songs about Govinda. This was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method, wasn't it? For a year, he stayed in Srivasangam. That's the house of Srivas Thakur, the pure devotee, follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They used to go to Srivas's house at night, and they'd have a kirtan all night long. They'd lock the doors. Nobody else could get in. So intoxicating, chanting the holy names. What to speak, Mahaprabhu is there. And they would dance all night, and they would relish the mellows of chanting Hare Krishna. They were so absorbed, they would go all night long until the sun would come up. And then they would go back out and do their work, whatever they were doing. And the next night they'd come back. For a whole year they did that. Some people tried to get in. They wanted to hear the kirtan. They wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, but Mahaprabhu didn't let anybody else in. Only pure devotees could be in that assembly. But after a year, he told the devotees, take it out to the street. Make this chanting public so other people can hear it. And then the police came because people complained. They said, you know, you're chanting, it's during Chaturmasya, the Lord is sleeping, you're going to wake him up. All this racket, chanting holy names, you know, saying a few Govindas here and there during puja, that's one thing. But out loud, this chanting, singing, playing drums on the street corner, this is, the Lord's going to become angry and we're not going to have any grains. He's going to restrict the grain process. And if that happens, we're going to take Srivas's house and throw it in the river. They became offensive, and they went to the police and they complained. They said, listen, these people in the name of Hinduism, they're going out fanatically chanting the names of God on the street corners, and they're ruining everything. So the police came, and they told the devotees, no chanting. And they took one of the drums just to prove their point. They took a mudanga and they broke it. So the devotees were a little concerned. You know, they were living under a Muslim government. So they went back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they told him what had happened. And he became very angry. So he said, we'll go out 10,000 strong, everyone chanting. Gather together all the devotees. We're all going out on Harinam Kirtan. So they brought torches. Everyone was bringing these torches at night. And then more and more people heard about it. You know how word spreads, right? They heard about it everywhere. Actually, they even heard about it on the heavenly planets. The demigods wanted in on this, so they all started coming down. No one could estimate how many people, how big the crowd swelled to. Tens of thousands. Then it looked like millions of people. And they were all chanting, and they were all in ecstasy in a huge crowd, chanting the holy names. They went all the way to the house of the head policeman, and they had a big demonstration outside his house with kirtan. Some of them began to ruin the flower beds and break the trees. Mahaprabhu restrained them, and he went inside, and he had a talk with the head policeman and worked the whole thing out. Actually, Lord Nrsingadev had worked it out ahead of time because the Qazi, the head policeman, had a dream the night before after he broke the Madunga drum and tried to stop the kirtan. Lord Nrsingadev appeared in his dream, and he grabbed his chest, and he was about to rip him apart. And he said, if you ever interfere with the Sankirtan movement again, I will kill you. And the Qazi, he wanted to show this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in private and say, you know, I want to tell you something secretly. And Mahaprabhu said, all these associates, I have no secrets from them. You can tell me in this assembly. So he revealed and he showed his chest and he had these scratch marks from Narahari, Lord Narahari is protecting the Sankirtan devotees who are going out. He's protecting the Sankirtan movement. And also this police intervention has been going on since 500 years, Prabhupada said. As many times around the world, when the Sankirtan movement started and devotees were going out to preach Krishna consciousness, people have never seen such a thing in the middle of Iowa. I was once in Kansas City. distributing books at an airport there. We were selling Bhagavad Gitas. And, you know, there's a shuttle bus that drives from one terminal to the next. So they were so prejudiced against anything new in that state that when we got on the bus, we'd sit down and we'd start reading the Gita from between one terminal and another. And the bus driver pulled the bus over and he said, unless you close that book and put it away, I won't drive another inch. That was the atmosphere in some of these places. And sometimes the police would come. Sometimes there was brutality. All these things happened. Even devotees were killed in the beginning days. There was some place in Atlanta where someone threw a Molotov cocktail inside a temple and a devotee was killed. It happened many places. In Russia, the early devotees who were going there, of course, in the early days, you know, Russia was so tight, you could barely get in there. By Krishna's arrangement, Prabhupada went there, somehow got a visa. It was amazing. Just the story, you can read about this in the Lilamrita. Shyamasundara, his secretary, he went there with him. He brought a camera. Somehow he brought a camera. It was one of those old brownie cameras that only had 5 exposures in the camera. And every one of them turned out perfect. You can see those 5 pictures he took. He got to Russia. Prabhupada met with one professor, Professor Katovsky. And Professor Katovsky said, there's no life after death. As soon as you die, you're finished. Prabhupada used to comment about that all the time. It's a completely atheistic country. The leaders were holding everyone down, but everyone was just waiting. Then the devotees began to smuggle books into the country. I know devotees, they used to put the books, they'd take the cars apart, just the way people smuggle drugs across the border. Yeah, it's true. They used to have these buses that were filled with hashish. That would, not the devotees, but other people. They'd fill the whole bus with hashish and they'd drive it, you know, through the Sindh Valley and, you know, distribute it, make millions of dollars. So the devotees, they had the real cargo. They did the same thing for Krishna. They'd take these cars apart and they'd pack the walls with books. It was very risky too, because if you got caught, you're obviously smuggling books. That's, they were getting books into the country. They had a Russian easy journey to other planets. And one copy, people were so eager to read it, one copy would get circulated to hundreds of people. One book. They would read it. They've never heard of such things before. It was all restricted. You couldn't get anything in Russia. So they'd pass it around, and they'd make a little tick mark on the book. They'd pass it to the next person, and they found these books that have been read by hundreds of people passed around. And that knowledge started getting in because Prabhupada went there, and then the books went in. The vibration, it's the vibration of the books. It can't be resisted. See, bhakti can't be stopped anywhere. There's no external circumstance that can stop bhakti. Whatever, you know, condition of life we're in now, you can be in prison. You can feel like you're in prison. You can, you know, be crippled. You can be lame, blind. Doesn't matter. Bhakti is so powerful, it overcomes everything. It's the most powerful force in the universe, bhakti. The soul's quest for Krishna cannot be stopped by anything. And once it's started, it will never stop. So these songs about Govinda, these books, the books, what's in these books is powerful. It's revolutionary. It's subversive. It's described, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abadyavapyapi ramanyanantastya yashonkitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grnantya sadhava. This is Shukadeva Goswami says that these books are so powerful that they create a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Just by hearing them, people become changed immediately over just by seeing them, just by touching them. King Birambir, he met Narottam Das Thakur. Or was it Shamanan? Srinivas. He met Srinivas Acharya, who was preaching and distributing books in the kingdom. And before he met him, the king and his men had stolen all the books of the Goswamis, thinking them to be some great treasure when they were traveling across the country. Do you know this story? Jiva Goswami, they were disciples of Jiva Goswami. Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda, and Narottam Das Thakur were 3 of the top disciples of Jiva Goswami, one of the 6 Goswamis, and the greatest scholar in the history of the world. They had all the Goswami literatures, and Jiva Goswami asked them to take them out into the country and distribute them. So they put them on a bullock cart, and they went out into the country to distribute these books. And the king had heard that there was some precious cargo traveling across the country. And he had a team of dacoits that used to go out and steal all these treasures. So he arranged for his dacoits to sneak up at the middle of the night and steal all that treasure, what he thought was some kind of gold or jewels or something, and they brought it back to him. And of course, the next morning when Shyamananda, Srinivasa, and Narottam found that all their books were gone, back then you had to copy them by hand, they were mortified. So they went in different directions to try to find them. And Srinivasacharya headed towards the kingdom of King Birambir. And when he got there, there was a whole series of events that led up to him meeting the king, one of which was that he was invited to speak in the assembly of the king. And when he spoke, the king was so impressed with how he spoke on the Srimad Bhagavatam that he invited him to stay in his palace. And he listened all night, and he could hear Srinivas in the other room chanting and doing his bhajan. And he came to ask Srinivas for initiation into the Vaishnava line. He was convinced that this was his spiritual master. So Srinivas agreed to that. And afterwards, the king wanted to give him some Guru Dakshin. So he said, "What can I give you?" And Srinivas Acharya said, "There's only one thing that I want. I'm missing these books. They were stolen. They were my life and soul. They were my duty to distribute these. And someone stole them." And the king realized that he had stolen those books and he had been keeping them. So he said, "I can help you with that." So he confessed what had happened. He said, "I've changed my ways now I've met you, but here is the treasure that I stole from you." But then he revealed to Srinivasacharya that after he had stolen those books and brought them to his kingdom, and he opened them, expecting there to be rubies, diamonds, you know, all kinds of gold, and he saw books. But when he opened the books and he saw the handwriting in the books, just the letters themselves, the nature of the books, it changed his heart. He was moved. Profoundly moved just by seeing them, just by the glance of the books. He didn't even read them. And this all led up to his meeting Srinivasacharya and his initiation. And he converted his whole kingdom. He told everyone in his kingdom they had to chant 16 rounds. Just by decree. Make it a lot easier here in Silicon Valley. We could make Rakshit Prabhu the mayor, or the governor or something, you know. And he can just pass it through the Congress. So the point is, just by seeing these books, they're not ordinary. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo means they're a different creation. They come from a different world. They're not obviously not from this world when you look at them. Sometimes we get used to looking at them and we forget how special they are. But when you take them out and show them to other people, you get the most profound reactions. You know, this is one of the reasons we go out to distribute them. Every time we distribute, we take them door to door, we introduce them to people, we get renewed understanding of how special these books are. We heard on the Good News Action broadcast this morning that Chandra Prabhu was saying that he had wished that the way people line up for sugarcane juice, that someday they'll also line up to get these books. And that sometimes when he presents a book and someone doesn't purchase it, he said, "Well, they touched it, or they saw it." And Prabhupada used to say that. If they just read one word or one line, or they even touch one of these books, then they become purified by that. Because the vibration is so powerful. It's a different creation. So the Goswamis were expert at this. They went everywhere and they poured transcendental songs about Govinda. So tonight we have this opportunity to go out for a little while, anybody who would like to. Door-to-door is one of my favorite kinds of sankirtan. Because people are comfortable, they're in their own element, and they seem very, very happy to receive people at their door and open to hearing what we have to say. So normally what we do is we go and we simply knock on someone's door. See, this is sankirtan. It means going out, taking the message out to other people. This is our dharma. It's our part of our duty. The more we spread Krishna consciousness, if we take up this activity ourselves, we'll also become greatly inspired. I have a letter for you from Srila Prabhupada I'm going to read. Are you ready? You sure? Okay. Actually, this is a conversation. Does everybody know who Hari Sari is? Hari Sari was Prabhupada's assistant, servant, for several years. And he kept a diary when he was traveling with Prabhupada, and he had many conversations with him about different things. So this is one conversation between Hari Sari and Srila Prabhupada. Hari Sari. It seems to be very difficult if they are not very serious about anything. Prabhupada, no, that is missionary activities. That they do not understand. But you have to make them understand. They are not calling you. I am suffering. Please come. But it is your business to go and let them know that you are suffering. You take this method. That is the way of becoming very quickly recognized by Krishna. Otherwise, if you think they are not understanding what is the use of going there, let me sleep, that is not good. They are not understanding. Still, you have to go. Then Krishna will take that he is laboring so hard for my sake. Never mind, he is successful. It doesn't matter, but if you are working hard for Krishna, that is noted down. So our business is to be recognized by Krishna. Whether one man is converted or not converted, that is not our business. We shall try our best. But Krishna must see that I am giving service to him. That's all. That is wanted. Not that you have to judge that you have approached so many men. Nobody became Krishna conscious. That doesn't matter. But you have gone there. You have endeavored your sincere effort. That is recognized by Krishna. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whomever you meet, you give him, you inform him the instruction of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that you see that he has actually become Krishna conscious. Never says. You simply say and go and say. That is your business. It is not that you have to see that he has become Krishna conscious. It is not so easy to become Krishna conscious. It is not so easy. It will take many, many births. But you have to do your duty. Go and preach. Your duty is finished. Of course, you will try to convert him. If he is not converted, that is not deviation of your duty. You simply have to go and speak. Just like when I came to your country, I never expected any success because I knew as soon as I will say no illicit sex, no meat eating, they will reject me immediately. And on this, it says there was laughter also. So that was actually during a morning walk in Melbourne, May 20th, 1975. Prabhupada was speaking like that. So this going to preach, going to distribute books door to door, these types of things, it's not that we expect some immediate results or anything, but just the activity itself is pleasing to Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who engages in trying to spread my message is very dear to me. He says, there's no one more dear to me in this world than that person who tries to spread the message. So this is part of our mission. This is our mission here at ISKCON of Silicon Valley, to make sure that we're distributing the mercy of Krishna through book distribution, through the distribution of the holy names, making sure everywhere. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. There's nowhere that he is not. He's in every atom. Ekopya sora charitum jagadanda koti. Koti shvishesha vasudari vibhuti binam. So Krishna is present everywhere. He can be glorified in all times, in all circumstances, in all places. Does anybody have any questions? I have a note. This could be important. Let's see what we've got here. Drum roll, please. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, this is big news. So the Sankirtan Sunday, for those of you who are just coming in, is gradually forming. We're forming a Sankirtan party to go out to distribute books, distribute prasadam, to invite people to come to chant Hare Krishna. It's so attractive, spiritual life, actually. It's irresistible, really. If people know about it and we understand what it is, it's irresistible. This is the idea of bhakti. It's so attractive that you can't resist it, actually. There's, in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, there's always dancing and singing going on. But it's not the kind of dancing and singing from this world, where people are dancing for some kind of sense gratification or, you know, out of some sense of false ego. They're moving there in the spiritual world out of joy. Everyone here knows what joy is, right? Does everybody know? What is it? Everyone says they know, so what is joy? What is the definition of joy? Let's look it up. Give Bhakti Lee on the dictionary and we'll get an actual definition of joy. And in the meantime, I'd like to hear what you all think that joy means. Who could say, huh? Happiness, okay? Joy, happiness, what else? Can somebody give me a definition of joy and happiness? Are we all looking for happiness or do we want to be miserable? Okay, we're getting somewhere. Happiness, satisfaction, what? A feeling of completeness. Oh, this is very important. She's saying something very important. A feeling of completeness. What happens when you feel complete? Well, so let's say, what happens when you feel incomplete? Let's start there. When you feel incomplete, what do you feel? Someone say frustration, something's missing. So what do you do when something's missing and you feel incomplete? You go out and you move around and try to make it complete, right? So what are some of the things I might do if I feel incomplete? Let's just say, you know, as a, huh?
I might go buy a new car.
I might go buy a new car if I feel incomplete, right? What else might I do if I feel incomplete? Huh? So this means what? Give me a specific. Huh? Get a $1 million loan. Yeah, I might get a loan. I might go to school. I might go get a job. I might, you know, find a mate. I might, you know, I'm incomplete, so I need a mate, right? And that's not good. I might want to have kids. I might have, you know, there's all kinds of things. This is moving around in the world because I'm feeling incomplete. So I'm trying to find my completeness in the world, right? That means there's all kinds of ways I'm moving in the world. We're moving in this world out of a sense of incompleteness. What's joy mean? Let's find out. From the authority.
It says the conditional feeling of great pleasure or happiness, delight, to take great pleasure or rejoice.
To rejoice, that's nice too. Go ahead, keep going.
To fill with joy.
To be filled with joy. Okay, so if I'm feeling complete, if I have complete satisfaction and I'm moving in the world, I don't need anything, but now I'm moving, is it different from when I feel incomplete? I mean, what is the dancing of the spiritual world? Everyone's complete, but they're still moving. That's out of joy. It's out of happiness. The dancing of the kirtan, when you feel so happy to hear the holy name, you feel so happy to be in the association of devotees. You don't want to be anywhere else. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yam labva chaparam labvam. He says, you will experience a feeling of gain where you feel there is no greater gain. And you'll burst at the seams. You can be sitting and chanting Hare Krishna, and you can experience the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is Krishna himself. And you'll feel so complete, you'll feel so happy that you want to burst. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to burst. You know, in his transcendental body, he showed these symptoms. Sometimes his body expanded to twice the size that it was. Sometimes it shrunk down and his limbs went within the body. That was out of complete ecstasy. So the experience of chanting Hare Krishna, of being in the association of devotees, this produces this feeling. There's no greater gain. There's complete happiness. And therefore, the movement, the dancing, that is all out of joy. So this is the real movement of the spiritual world. Shriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpa taravo druma bhumish chintamani ganamayi toyam amritam kataganam natyam gamanam api vamshi priyasaki. There's talk going on in the spiritual world, right? There's speech going on all the time in Vraj, in the Vrajadam. The devotees are always talking. What are they talking about in Vrindavan? They're always talking about Krishna. That things are going on, just like they go on here. The milkman comes, right? And then they... Of course, we don't have milkmen anymore. You got to go buy it from the store. We used to have a milkman when I was growing up. And the milkman would come over. You know, you'd talk to the milkman. And in Vraj, the milkman comes, and they talk over the fence about Krishna. What's Krishna doing? And that way, everywhere in Vrindavan, Machita madgata prana, bodayanta parasparam, katayantashchamam nitya tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Machita madgata prana, bodayanta parasparam. Can you get that verse, Patrick? Machita madgata prana. In the Gita? Yeah. It's 10:9. 10:8 is... Yeah, so it's 10:9, yeah. Give him the microphone back there. He'll read the verse. See, what we're doing here is we're counting down to Sankirtan Sunday. Because just outside, all the kids from the Sunday school, they're getting ready to go out door to door. They're going to distribute hundreds of prasadam lollipops that were eaten by the Lord. And they're going to distribute books and invite people to come to the temple. And then anyone else who would like to go out for book distribution will also be, you'll be accommodated. Okay, let's hear this verse.
So on page 458 of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 9, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me.
And can you read the word for word?
Matchita, their minds fully engaged in me. Matgata prana, their lives devoted to me. Bodhayanta, preaching. Paraparam, among themselves. Kathayanta, talking, cha, also, mom, about me, nityam, perpetually, dosyanti, become pleased, cha, also, ramanti, enjoy transcendental bliss, cha, also.
Thank you very much.
Hope that was close.
It was very good, thank you. And the reason I call him Bhakta Patrick is he always has his Bhagavad Gita with him, wherever he goes. So Krishna is describing the activities of the spiritual world. Machita, matkata prana. Minds are absorbed in him. Their lives are absorbed in him. Matkata, their speech. All the kata is about Krishna. So this is the activity of the spiritual world. And this is completely fulfilling. By speaking about Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, by absorbing the mind in Krishna, then we become completely satisfied. Does everyone believe it? Any doubts? Any obstacles? May not have doubts, but there may be obstacles. There's plenty of obstacles, right? Everything's an obstacle?
Self-imposed.
So we have self-imposed obstacles. Anybody here have a self-imposed obstacle? Yes, Milan Doshi Prabhu. Give him the microphone.
My own laziness, one desire to enjoy the material world, still not reducing or going away from it.
So laziness and the desire to enjoy the material world?
Not of it, I mean not tough weather in the next part.
Okay, those are a couple of self-imposed obstacles. What else?
Pride.
Pride. Pride can be a big obstacle too. So these are some major obstacles here. Laziness, desire to enjoy the material world, and pride. Any other obstacles? Yeah. Anger. Anger could be a major obstacle too. Anything else? Yes?
Doubt.
Doubt. If I have doubts, could be obstacles. Okay, so, yes?
Shyness, you know, sometimes we feel not to go out.
Shy. Shy to move forward in the process? Or are you talking specifically about Sankirtan?
Not really. Not to go sometimes with, you know.
Okay, being a little shy? All right, it could be an obstacle.
Support.
What about support?
Like you need support from your own, people.
Okay, like from in your own environment. Like say if you're in an unsupportive environment, right? You're trying to perform devotional service and other people around you are saying, what are you doing that for? Why don't you, you know, do something else, right? That could be an obstacle. Any other obstacles?
Lust.
Lust. Lust. Krishna says is the number one obstacle that's been keeping us in the material world birth after birth, right? So, any others? We have lust, we have anger. Yes, Bharat.
Ego,
yes. Who brought that also? Pride. Someone said pride, ego, yes. Anyone else? You have your hand up? He's forcing you to hold your hand up. Okay, so there are all these obstacles. So let's look at some of them. Milindoshi, yes?
So far as support is concerned,
Let's see, I have the microphone so everyone can hear you.
Well, one of the concerns that can be addressed is about having support. So far as going out in Sankirtan is concerned, the way we do it is one doesn't go out alone. There is an experienced person who goes with you like a team leader. So there is support provided. It is available. And also by watching how this person is doing it, approaching others and passing on this message, one can also remove doubts if they have any doubts about approaching others.
Well, we just got two of them, two for one from Rakshit. So this is good advice. Yes, Pector.
I was approached by a wonderful team leader today, Raksit, over at the farmer's market in Campbell, and he was very good.
Very nice. So did you get a book from him?
I did.
You got a book. You got another book. What did you get?
I was lucky enough to get The Perfection of Yoga.
Oh, how nice. And you have a Sri Shapanishad already.
I do.
Nice. So already you were out on Sankirtan today, Rakshit Prabhu.
Oh, yes.
Hare Krishna. Let's give him a hand for that. There you go. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Please come in. Hare Krishna. So one of the things that Rakshit Prabhu brought up is by going out with someone who's already an expert. That means he was speaking in reference to for those devotees who are going to go out tonight, who want to experience Sankirtan for themselves, going out, we have experts waiting outside. We have transportation. They are very experienced in how to do Sankirtan. And they will take us out and then show us how to do it. All we have to do is watch. Actually, tonight, Sankirtan Sunday, it's a night where you don't have to perform. All you have to do is show up. It's fun and easy. If you want to go along, you can just ride along and then watch how others do it. You can watch the expert. And if you feel inspired or if you see an opening, then you can also step in and pass out some prasadam or book or invite somebody to come to the Sunday program. So one of the best ways to advance in spiritual life is hook yourself onto an expert. That's probably a good way in any sphere, isn't it? Hook yourself onto the expert. Every year I go to India, to Govardhan Hill, and I stay there for 1 month during the Kartik season. And we walk around Govardhan Hill once a day in the morning. Has anybody been there to Govardhan? Yes. So nobody's been to Govardhan. Have you walked around the hill? Jai. So walking around Govardhan Hill, it's a wonderful experience. Everyone can move forward about 7.2 inches. But sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of energy to go around, doesn't it? It's a long walk, actually. It's 26 kilometers, 27 kilometers, 28 kilometers. 26 kilometers. That's a bit of a stroll, isn't it? Anybody here walk 26 kilometers every day? Well, you can, you know, it takes a little stamina to walk around the hill. So best way I've found, I go to Govardhan, and then in the morning time, maybe sometime I get up and we go out. We usually start at about 5:15 a.m. on our walk. And I get out, and maybe I'm tired. And I don't have as much energy. So what do I look for? I look for a sadhu who's flying around the hill really fast. Because a lot of them, they're so used to going around, they just fly. And even if it's dark, you don't know where you're stepping, and you're in bare feet. So sometimes, you know, you don't know the path, you can't see anything. So it's dark, you're tired. So you find someone who's flying around, and you just get right behind them and follow them, step by step, follow them. And then their energy carries you around the hill. You just fly around, and before you know it, you're in a rhythm, you're flying. So Raksha Prabhu has suggested this system for spiritual life. If you find someone who's flying, if you find someone who's steady, then you can grab on, and then you'll get automatic advancement in devotional service by grabbing on. Krishna says this, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uparakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshina. Find someone who's already seen something. Someone's already experiencing it, so they're steady, they're heavy. They got something you can grab onto, and they can pull you around. They can help you. This is the advantage of spiritual life. So tonight, we have this Sankirtan Sunday. Outside, the vehicles are waiting. They're full of books. They're full of lollipops. They're full of invitations. And each one of the cars has an expert Sankirtan leader in the car who's been training for many years, who knows how to, knows where to go, knows the best part of town, only 5-10 minutes from here, door to door. And they also know exactly what to do, how to approach the doors to give people an opportunity to hear about Krishna. In one of his poems, Srila Prabhupada wrote when he was sitting in Vrindavan before he came to America, he said, people all over the world are sitting in their homes and they're looking down the street waiting, when are Nitai and Gauranga going to come and save me? Prabhupada had that transcendental vision that when are Nitai and Gauranga going to come and save me? So when I started going around door to door some years ago, I used to think maybe that I was causing a big disturbance by going. And I was a little afraid to knock on the door and wonder what might happen when I do. Anybody ever think like that? When you go, you knock on the door and you think, what are they going to happen? Yeah, it's kind of like when you're leaning in a chair, everyone rocking a chair, and you almost fall backwards, but you just catch yourself, and you know that feeling? When you knock on the door, like, who's going to answer? What am I going to say? That's a good position to be in. That's a teachable moment when you feel out of your comfort zone. But Krishna always fills in, because what do you do when you feel like that? When you're about to fall back in your chair, hopefully. Or when you almost smash into the truck because you were looking at your cell phone rather than the freeway. What do you do?
God.
Yeah, you say, Hare Krishna! So what do you do? What's the technique before somebody opens the door? I'll teach you the best and practically only technique that ever works. You want to know what it is? Okay, who wants to know what it is?
Everyone.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, Srinivas, cover your ears. I'm going to tell the secret. The secret is, you chant Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra. Wherever you go on Sankirtan, you're going door to door. When you're walking up to the door, keep the mantra going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you knock on the door, you don't know what's going to happen, right? Because you're not omniscient, right? So you don't know what's going to happen when they open the door. So what can you do? Nothing. All you can do is pray to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Fact is, we can die at any moment. This is serious. We can die at any second. The only reason we're breathing, moving around, is because Krishna is maintaining our life right now. He's maintaining the life of every living entity, everywhere. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidikaman. Every meal we've had in this lifetime came from Krishna. Every penny that you earned from your company came from Krishna. It's all coming from Krishna. And whatever intelligence we get when we go out to preach Krishna consciousness is coming from Krishna. And from this letter I just read from Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that if you just try this, if you just make this endeavor, you'll make great advancement in spiritual life just by making the endeavor. Krishna will notice you, that you've taken the trouble to go and do this. So this is our method here at ISKCON Silicon Valley. Yes, Prabhuji.
I want to ask you one question.
Yeah, microphone.
So my question is how to convince the person inside the house and a heavy voice coming out, who is this? No, what is the answer?
Okay, so he asked, when somebody says inside the house, who is this? What do you say? It's Krishna. Yeah, just tell him it's Krishna, because you got Krishna right there in your hand. You're chanting Krishna, you have Krishna in your hand, and they say, who is it? Just say, it's Krishna. And then they can open the door and say, hi. You know, we're from the local temple, and there's about 200 of us going out tonight in the neighborhood, and we just wanted to show you this. That's all you have to say. It's real simple.
Sometimes problem with Western people, you know, they never heard of Krishna, so they just...
That makes it even better. They go, who's Krishna? And they open the door. You're Krishna? No, this is Krishna. Here, you could show them. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Right? So when you say something, if you say it with confidence, it practically doesn't matter what you say. It's not a technique. It's Krishna's mercy. There's no technique to this. We're throwing caution to the wind. We're taking the mercy of Krishna and we're going out. And we're just trying. We don't know what will happen. I've been doing book distribution for 36 years now. And every time I go out, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. How could I know? And every time I go, you know, I feel that in that zone, like anything can happen. Krishna, please help me. And this is the best place to be in the universe. Prabhupada said it. He said, the safest place in the universe is on the Sankirtan party. You could try to take shelter anywhere in the universe, but there is no shelter. But if you take shelter of Sankirtan, you've got the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So the time has come. And now, here's the thing. This is totally voluntary. Anybody who wants to just go along, there's two things you only have to do in life to be successful. And one of it is to show up. I learned that in college. If you just show up, you're ahead of about 90% of the people, right? So all you have to do for the Sankirtan Sunday, if you feel like it, if you're in the mood for it, and you want some more excitement in your life and see how things are done, you can go along for the ride and watch how these experts do it. I can see them out in the parking lot. They're all waiting. Anyone who wants to go, just pick a party. The experts are out there, the leaders, they'll sign you up with a certain party and you can go. They'll have you back here for the last part of the kirtan and for prasadam. Don't worry. And I guarantee it's going to be fun and exciting for anybody who does decide to go, or your money back. And if you'd rather stay, we're going to continue on with the program here, and everyone's obviously welcome to stay also. So everyone has their choice. So now we're going to take a 5-minute break, and those of you who would like to, you can even look outside and see which are the leaders are out there. That if you'd like to join up with them, you can go talk to them and see if you have confidence in them, and if you like the car they're going to put you in, and things like that. And then you can choose, and after that we're going to resume back here with more fun and excitement, hearing and chanting, which will go on. And we're going to have it, for those of us who stay back here, we're going to do a special prayer for those of you who are going out to distribute books, and we're going to pray for your success on book distribution. So the wind will be in your sails, as they say in Taiwan, Yi Lu Ping An. So, Sri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gopri Manande Hari Hari Bo.